You're tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hey folks, this is Chris Fleischer. I'm about to go live, but I want to say a few quick words before I do. I got a great guest coming up, but I want to thank Awakening Zone Radio Network in particular because they've done fantastic work. They're doing a wonderful job, I think, spreading the word and keeping things positive. We're headed into some very intense times right now, and it's important that people listen and understand what we're going through. And if we operate in a positive sense, we'll get through this all. If you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, come on over to awakeningzone.com and listen to what we have to say. It's well worth your effort. Now let's get on with the show.
Hello, I'm Chris Fleischer, and welcome to Turning of the Wheel, an intelligent, lively discussion on astrology, art, and adventure. Timing is everything, and as the great wheel turns, we are best prepared when we are best informed. Join me as I explore the current planetary alignments and offer insights for coping with change. Educational, informative, enlightening, the Turning of the Wheel is a welcome pause in your daily swirl of constant change. Through intelligent discourse, inspired guests, and educational segments, I will help to enlighten your knowledge of astrology and guide you to accept change as the great wheel of life turns. Call in with your questions and speak with some of the greatest visionaries in the time-tested practice of astrology. Turning of the Wheel, Astrology, Art, and Adventure with Chris Fleischer, live each Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on Awakening Zone Radio. Welcome to Turning of the Wheel, folks. My name is Chris Fleischer, and as you know, this is a weekly show about astrology, art, and spiritual adventure. And my goal has always been to sort of reach far and wide with my influence, my limited influence, to gather people in who have a large, sort of a 10,000-foot view of the world. And by doing that, it allows us to look down the road further and prepare in the most constructive and in provocative and educational and well-informed manner where we are headed. And we are headed into a time currently where we're going to be seeing some, you know, rather difficult aspects coming up in the next couple of, in the next week or two, we're going to be seeing some difficult aspects. But these are, I want people to understand them as starting points for emerging to a new way forward. My guest today is Michael St. Clair. He's a wonderful Swiss astrologer who I interviewed about 7 or 8 years ago. We had a wonderful conversation, and what we talked about back then, interestingly enough, is what we're seeing today. So this just proves how validating astrology truly is. Michael's website is www.stclairgold.com, and that's STCLAIR gold.com, and you can get there. It's www. I'll put it on my website as well. And Michael's calling in today from overseas, and we're going to be talking about where the world is today and where he sees the world going, because he's got a wonderful view. He's one of the rare astrologers that I've had on my show that really takes this time to do the research and get that longer view. You know, many times we're living in our current swirl of world, which is only extends 6 months or a year, but he's really looking down the road 10, 15, 20 years. And so it's a great pleasure to have him back on the show. Michael, welcome to Turning of the Wheel.
Hello, Chris. Nice to hear you again after all those years.
Yeah, but it was fun when we talked back then. I listened to the interview the other day. We are really right smack in the middle of what we were talking about then. So it's fascinating, I think.
Yes, it was. And this is when we talked last was the time when I published my book, Light Seeds. And I had worked for about 10 years on this book in research. So I was applying astrology for the long term for the book, but also for myself. And I was talking about global affairs, macroeconomics, precious metals, really the societal changes, including technology, because I'm interested in where our group of mankind goes in the larger picture. So I had no choice but take a long-term view of things. And I believe as wayshowers we have to do that because we're looking at the generations to come. And we need to see the bigger picture to know where we're at and how we move out of the very tricky situations we're in now.
Yeah, we certainly are. And we are coming up in a few days in April. We're going to be seeing a grand cardinal cross, which brings into the effect of four planets with precision. And this is what I find fascinating about astrology, is when we have precisions. Now, we all talk about orbs and orbs of influence, but when we have planets clicking into place at exact numbers, then we really have to pay attention, as you well know. So coming up in the end, towards the end of April, we have Mars at 13 degrees Libra. We've got Pluto at 13 degrees Capricorn, even though it's retrograde, it's still at 13 degrees. It's a slow-moving planet. We've got Uranus at 13 degrees Aries, which is a very innovative and volatile place for Uranus to be. And then we've got Jupiter at 13 degrees Cancer, which is the exact same degree of the Sun of the United States. So when we look at this grand cardinal cross, which also, as we know, forms a square, what do you see coming out of all that? There's quite a bit of activity there. And this has set the stage for something.
This is a big stage at the moment. This is very tense. We have a very stressful situation worldwide in global affairs, geopolitics, macroeconomics. And we see a lot of things going on that we have come to for a long time. This has been in the making, in my view, since the mid-60s when Uranus was conjunct Pluto. And now that Uranus and Pluto are in square, they're sort of equal players, and it's a tug of war. But I see the situation unfolding positively at the end of the day. It's only I'm looking down maybe 5 to 6, 7 years from now. We're going through a societal reset in 2020, 2021. We're going first through a great leveling of the economical situation, particularly in the Western world. But we're also at the same time witnessing interesting developments in world affairs with the Atlanticists, the Anglo-Americans trying to push around the emerging economies, the BRIC bloc, that's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and, you know, the wider Africa being developed by China. And we see, for instance, which is very interesting, that we have a guy like Vladimir Putin, who is a seer of sorts, a Shaolin master. He's a Libra, born 13 degrees Libra, so his sun sign degree is right in the cross right now in spring of 2014. So he's massively activated in all of this, and he's becoming a major player. I had foreseen this in my book, Lightseeds. I had said he would come back, and he's back again. And I think he is trying to create peace, at least economically, but he has a lot to deal with right now at the moment. He's an economist, by the way, as well. He studied economy, has a degree in economics. He studied law. So he's not quite the person that he's made out to be, as seen through Western media. Yeah. Anyway, just to mention, he's in the picture, of course, and that shows in astrology very clearly.
Yeah, he really isn't portrayed very well in the international press, and I have to say I have the same impression just because I'm limited by that view. I don't have the same sort of energy aspects that you have, or the same, you know, maybe you have different insights by being closer by proximity to them. But he certainly is in the midst of this, and I wonder, you know, I sort of wonder out loud where he had this wonderful opportunity with the Olympics, and the world was looking at Russia in through a new set of eyes, and then within a matter of weeks, the whole situation sort of reversed itself. And that, it seems very telling, especially when we got Mars going retrograde coming up onto his natal sun at that degree point. And I'm wondering how you feel about that sort of reversal, and if that reversal was intentional, or if there's some sort of logic behind all that.
Well, the logic behind this is longer term. You see, the Atlanticists have been working this situation with the Ukraine for at least 10 years. These revolutions, the Orange Revolution, etc., those were financed by the Western world, by bankers in London, etc. And what's happening is natural that the Crimeans, they are Russians. I mean, it has always been part of Russia. They're just saying, we want to be back in Russia, and they ask Putin, please help to protect us. And so he has not invaded anything. This is the land of Russia, and he's creating order by waiting them out. He's, by the way, a martial arts specialist. He has, I believe, a black belt in judo. He's a Shaolin master. He has Mars in Sagittarius. So the reversal of Mars is kind of interesting after the sports of the Olympics. But he has been seeing this coming, you know, for 12 years. He has reached out wherever he could. He has very capable diplomats around the world under his foreign minister, Lavrov, the tall guy, and he's reaching out where he can, and he's been doing it for over a decade, but even in Europe he has never found capable people to talk to and build an economy since the French president Chirac has gone, and the German Chancellor Schröder also, who is his personal friend still, since these two guys have gone and are no longer in power in Europe, Putin is faced with pretty much incapable people, even in Europe. The Europeans don't see what's going on, what is being actually played with them by the Atlanticists, that they're being pushed into a corner where they have to sort of choose sides, when really there are no sides to choose. There's just the world economy to look after. And Putin has told them already back in 2009, right after the great flushing of Lehman, what an economy worldwide should be like. Again, he's an economist, very few know that. And he had a great speech and presentation in Davos in January 2009. And in the Western world, nobody is understanding what has to happen. The Western world lives in a pile of debt. There are quadrillions of derivatives floating out there, bigger than the GDP of the entire planet. And so he had no choice but to turn eastwards and create an alliance with China, India, Iran as well, Brazil, South Africa, and other parts of Africa. So this is the new world, and in a funny way one can say, it may sound odd, but it's the truth that Putin is now the leader of the free world. I mean, who would have thought 20 years ago that we'll come to the point where we say the leader of Russia is the leader of the free world, but it is actually the truth, because the Western world is anything but free. You just have the Atlanticists running around the globe for the last 50, 60 years screaming freedom and democracy, when really what they're doing is destabilizing one country after the other, from, you know, Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Ukraine now, and many more. So this is a historical pattern that the Western world has unfortunately been following, and it's almost a replay of the Roman Empire. And when one looks at astrology, at the long moves, 250 years Pluto, 84 years Uranus, one can clearly see this is a replay of a pattern. And when the empire begins to fall apart economically, what the empire does is three things. It taxes its people to death. It introduces security and secrecy measures, border control, capital controls, all sorts of control. And it begins to create buffer zones where it retreats strategically from the places it had occupied, but leaving behind a lot of chaos and destruction. And that's what we're actually witnessing. This is the assessment I have come to in very short words. I've written about this much more together with other experts. We follow a gentleman in Moscow. His name is Professor Andrei Fursov, F-U-R-S-O-V, Fursov. Often comes on video. He's a historian. He teaches history, political sciences, etc. And he explains in great detail what's going on in the big picture of mankind historically over the last at least 200 years. He's an expert, and he shows what's going on. We also have, in the United States, you have someone who has the same good picture, but he's not well reported on. That's the former Assistant Treasury Secretary, Assistant Secretary of Treasury. His name is Paul Craig Roberts. He says more or less the same as I've just told you, but I put it now in astrological context.
Well, you know, that's very, very interesting. There's a lot to digest there, but I certainly do recognize the association with Rome and sort of the patterns that were there, because we do seem to be living a very similar type of, you know, democracy or whatever you call it, a governation, I guess is the word for it, and where we have this sort of, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and we sort of have that sense of being an absolute power, and we've misused our power, I think, in many ways, on the world stage, and it does seem as if, you know, these things are cyclical and have a sweeping term to them. And I've often spoken about the idea of the United States being a cancer nation, and especially with Pluto directly opposing the United States sun, that it really is a time for the United States to stop its worldwide tirade of running around trying to solve everybody's problems and bring that energy back home and solving our own domestic problems, which are huge, and putting our energy there, which really speaks to the idea of the United States as a community, for a very large community for sure, but also as an entity that needs to be self-sufficient, as all countries, I suspect, do need to be. But I think that we've reached too far, gone too far, spent too much of our money and time and effort elsewhere when it really needed to be brought back home. I mean, we have bridges that are falling down. We've got people that are unemployed. We've got massive problems with infrastructure. You know, our money needs to be here, repairing ourselves.
Yes, that's right. You nation has really no choice but to come together internally. But the solution is that people have to look after themselves and become self-sufficient, grow their own food, use different kinds of energy, solar power, whatever. Create small communities that become self-sustained. That's the solution. Look after their own health as well, mm-hmm. become healers, etc. And you're quite right, the Cancer Nation, a very young nation, has not even gone yet through the first Pluto return, really. It has to look after itself. But this is not the fault of the Americans. I want to say, when I use the term Americans, I don't mean the people, because I have only friends and clients in your nation. But it's the Atlanticists, it's the string pullers in London with the banks, the Federal Reserve, these kinds of organizations. And they are the ones pushing this whole operation in the wrong direction. But this will take care of itself during the next, I would say, 6-7 years. And I have a chart that's of great interest on my website, stclairgold.com. When you go there, right in the sunset, you see a chart imprinted that points you to the 21st of January, 2021. That's the day after, by the way, the day after a new president will have been sworn in the United States. And on that chart, you see that most everything is between Capricorn and Taurus. And you see that the fast-moving planets, Jupiter and Saturn, are moving in line of Pluto and then off into Aquarius. And this is where I see the new beginning taking place after what will, however, be known as the Great Reset of society and also the Great Reset of the entire world economy. And but you're right, your nation needs to pull inside. It needs to pull together.
And 2021 is really not that far away. It's only 7 years away, and yet we see this activity really manifested through the chart. And the chart that Michael refers to is on his website, www.stclairgold.com. That's stclairgold.com. And you'll see the chart there, and it is for the sunrise set chart for January 21st, 2021, which sounds far away, but it really is only 7 years down the road, which is very... In the considerations of the time of span of history, is a minor blip on the radar, but we see an interesting alignment of planets there, and it's sort of, I think it is really, it has in that chart, I think, the seeds, using your own analogy of the seeds of change, are really embedded there, because we see Jupiter and Saturn both in Aquarius, which is very much of a community organizing kind of quality, which is large, and so we can see these societies growing and evolving in a very responsible sort of community-minded way. This is what's important, is that community-minded way. And I think it really points to that sense of what was begun back when we had the Uranus-Pluto conjunction back in the 1960s, when the hippies and that hippie generation really had a glimpse of where society had to go by building communes and working together and sort of returning to the land, because it was sort of a departure from where we had been at the time. That really was the initial glimpse of where we need to be, it sounds like.
Yes, that's right. You see, you were just saying it's 6 years is not a long time. You and I spoke 6 years ago. It feels maybe a year ago or not. I mean, it's a short span of time, but what you're talking about now, that's where I got myself a bit more specialized. I believe that the faster-moving planet, when it's in conjunction, Uranus-Pluto in Virgo in the mid-60s, has pointed towards Uranus' activity, which was a form of rebellion, a form of revolution, okay, in Virgo, new systems coming about, and this has pointed the way to a new form of liberation. But at the same time, you also see that this is when the first credit cards came about and debt was being piled up nationwide and in the whole Western world. And I say that by the time Uranus goes into opposition to Pluto, it will have made, of course, an 84-year cycle, is back in Virgo, but then in opposition to Pluto in Pisces. I feel that by then, though, that it is Pluto which will become the more dominant force in the game. So we're going through these cycles, and right now in 2014 and 15, the two planets are at 90-degree angles and sort of equal players. That's how I look at the pendulum swings that go on in astrology. One can even say, in another analogy, that the wind blows one way in the 60s and it's going to blow another way in the 2040s.
Hmm. when you mentioned the word debt, you know, and credit card, the, you know, I grew up in a family. I was born in the early 50s, and my father would never buy anything unless he had the cash for it. And with the introduction of the credit cards, it and of course with marketing being what it is in America and the drive to buy things, people have gotten carried away with credit card debt to the point where, you know, people are declaring bankruptcy. And I'm wondering, as a greater topic, how does a country as large as the United States ever rectify its debt to other nations, especially with China? And how does that manifest itself?
I don't think that the Western world, that includes also Western Europe, America as well, can ever repay this debt. It is not possible. This is done with quadrillions of derivatives. There has to be a greater reset coming, which I see around 2020, 21, where there will be a global economy with a new currency, which will be backed by gold. And those who have the gold, that will be China and Russia and India mainly, those with the gold will have a proper currency and a proper economy, and those who do not have the gold, and the gold has moved now past tense from the west to the east and is moving quickly, completely to the east, will not as such have a currency that functions anymore. So there will have to be a reset. But to answer your question, I don't see how the debt as such can ever be repaid.
Yeah, I don't either. When you, it's just too large. When you look at gold as a standard, sort of what holds the, you know, the economy together, could that also be? I mean, because that's literally moving gold bullion bars across borders in a form of payment. Could you also see the idea of natural resources as a currency form, whereby we work with, you know, we give you 3,000 tons of wheat, you give us, you know, 3,000 gallons of oil or something like that. You know, is there that sort
of... That's right. Absolutely, you're completely right. This is exactly what the economist Putin is doing with the others in the BRIC bloc, which is Russia, again, India, China, Brazil, South Africa, and really bigger parts of Africa now that are lining up with China. This is what they're doing with each other, and they are going to circumvent the dollar. They are circumventing the U.S. dollar, and the dollar will no longer be reserve currency, and they pay each other either in their own currencies or in gold, or they exchange gas and oil for other things that the nation needs. That's how it is happening. So there is actually an international global barter in that sense already afoot. It's just that the Western world has painted itself into a corner with its debt production. So what you're saying is actually happening. This is going to be the beginning of a new global economy. That's happening now during the next 5-6 years will lead to a new currency backed by gold. And at that point, we have calculated that the fair price of gold would be about $9,000 per ounce, or about 8 times more than it is now. That would actually already now be the correct price. But all the markets are manipulated, of course. But this gold price will come about when the currencies are reset.
So you see that gold becoming the standard once again, even though it's departed from that?
Yes. Well, what happened was that in 71, under Nixon, this is interesting, by the way, also astrologically, he closed the gold window, and so the U.S. dollar was gold-backed until then. And then, basically, he created a petrodollar. So what the global currency, the reserve currency of the dollar is, the Western world's economy, is actually backed by Arab oil. So he created, or what was created then after him, is a sort of an energy-based dollar. And this is not going to be the future, of course. So it is odd to witness now that we're going to go back to a gold-backed global currency.
Hmm. It's interesting how the, you know, so this really is a metaphorical pendulum that we're watching, where we went from gold into oil, or that oil-based economy, and then we're swinging back towards the gold-based economy. I think that's fascinating, and it makes a great deal of sense to me. But I'm wondering, as a favor to our listeners, what would you suggest that they do as a course of action in this sort of a volatile time?
For now, in the next year or two to come, it's very important that people become completely self-sustained, grow your own food, study your healing, make sure you have supplements, that you live a very healthy life, because health is all you have. And as far as reserves and resources, you have got to buy silver and gold if you can. You have to have your gold coins and silver bars, because this is what you're going to need in the next few years and later down the road towards 2020 and into even the mid-late 20s, this is going to be the only real resource that you will have with which you can trade, because the currency itself will be completely devalued. So it's very important that you actually buy gold, because you're not investing in gold, you're buying an insurance by doing this.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It makes me want to go to Alaska and start, panning the streams for gold flakes, you know?
Yes.
I feel like I should go out and, become a gold miner. But I can see that as logic, and I think that makes sense, because they're really, and I guess countries that have an abundance of gold will actually do quite well, even though other natural resources. I mean, the United States was always seen, they always called us the breadbasket of the world because we had all the wheat and stuff like that, but that's also changed as well.
Well, you have Russia being basically the main resource. They have the food, the water, the gas, oil as well. They have massive resources. China, too. Only China has its own problems with a huge population. Putin has only about 250 million people to feed, but over a landmass that is just way huge. So you in America have a relatively speaking small landmass with a lot of population, and that creates social problems when the system breaks. And I have to say, unfortunately, the way we're looking at events unfolding, which is our sign, our real life sign, with the measurement of astrology as a timer, we see the society moving now into really large scale problems, and that is why we feel the solution is simply to be as self-sustained as possible and to be also outside of the system, or at least not depending on a system that may no longer function, that includes healthcare, banking, and whatever you have. So you must be on your own feet. That is really crucial to understand now.
Yeah, that certainly makes perfect sense. We're going to take a quick break here. My guest today is Michael St. Clair. He's a marvelously adept and talented long-term visionary astrologer, it provides a unique view of the world and how we begin to evolve. And I think it's important to know this sort of information because we can set our own plans accordingly. And I think that his comments about self-sufficiency are very important. These are sort of some of the concepts I've touched on in the past on my own shows about the idea of returning to, the self, returning to the country. And I think, the United States returning back to the shores of its own country, repairing our own backyard, are critical. Michael's website, and I encourage you to contact him, is stclairgold.com. So it's www.stclairgold.com. And he's in Switzerland, and he's available for consultations. And I certainly appreciate you coming on. And we're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be back in about 2.5 minutes to continue the show and get more into the details of where the world is going with Michael St. Clair. So please hang in there. We'll be right back.
Awakening Zone Academy, online classes for new energy lifestyles.
Hello, my name is Glenn Harold, and I would like to tell you about an exclusive series that I'm presenting in the Awakening Zone Academy from April the 1st. The Sonic Hypnosis Healing Experience comprises 6 classes featuring powerful solfeggio frequencies to expand your consciousness and heal your life. In each of the 6 classes, there is an introduction, 2 powerful hypnotic meditation tracks, the solfeggio music, a workbook based on the elements of each of the frequencies, and more. The solfeggio tones have an amazing ability to heal specific issues, as each frequency transmits its own unique vibration. Ali Calderwood's beautiful music tuned to each solfeggio frequency, combined with my meditation relating to the elements of each tone, create a unique alchemy, and people report having amazing transformations and healing with them. The Sonic Hypnosis Healing Experience comprises 6 classes and will be available in the Awakening Zone Academy from April the 1st. And I do hope you join me. Best wishes.
For more information on this class, please visit Awakening Zone Academy.
What is your destiny? Where are you going? What is your real purpose? Do you know? Do you want to know? Of course you do. It's your duty to yourself. We are all here for a reason, and we all have great potential. Discover all of this and more with a professional astrology reading. My name is Chris Fisher, and I can help you. Discover your strengths and work on your weaknesses, and live your life to its fullest capacity. Based on your birthday, birthplace, and birth time, an authentic astrology reading will allow you to live your life to the fullest and reveal your true purpose. Only real astrology can give you real information. It is your destiny, and it is your path. Write me at chris@chrisflisher.com and book a reading today. Or call me at 978-393-1036. That's 978-393-1036. www.chrisflisher.com.
Okay.
Okay, we're back on the line with Michael St. Clair. We've got a much better connection now. Than the world of the Internet, as we were mentioning earlier, has its beautiful attributes, but it also has its flaws, just like us human beings. So it's interesting to see this all happen. But I am in a much better connection with him now, and I want to get a clearer idea of where we're going. Now, we were talking, Michael, earlier about sort of this idea of returning to community, and we see this happening on the when we look at the charts going forward. You had mentioned a specific chart of January 21st, 2021, where we see Jupiter and Saturn both in Aquarius, very close conjunction, and Pluto at 24 degrees Capricorn. I'm wondering if you could just explain a little more about that. Now, I know that the humanitarian sign of Aquarius does build community, so I'm wondering what you see as we look at those dates.
Yes, so I hope you can hear me now. What I see here happening is that I've mentioned we're going through the great leveling of society and the economics, world economy now, and by 2021, we feel we're going through a great reset. The planets show us they're clicking in through Pluto, literally a reset happening with the faster planets, Jupiter and Saturn, indicating a new beginning of a whole new economy worldwide. And as they then move into Aquarius in 2021, that date, by the way, is the day after a new president takes office in the United States. I feel that Aquarius and the way the planets are aligned point to a new internet, among other things, better connections. And like you said, we will act more locally, but still networked, of course, globally, worldwide, but on the same wavelengths. Many more people will have by then understood that we really have to take care of our own business and be self-sustained while reaching out to the community and make sure that our economies are working regionally and locally.
Yeah, it's sort of like I was mentioning the idea of the pendulum. It's almost as if the pendulum, we've introduced the internet and the pendulum has almost gone too far one direction because we're sort of over the top with that, and it sort of has built a sense of isolation with people. But I think as the pendulum swings back and we find that we understand the tool better, we'll be able to have the local harmony as well as the global reach.
That's right. And I believe also that the whole political game plan that we were discussing will take another direction because the economies of the Western world will have transformed in the process of piling up this debt. I mean, quadrillions of derivatives are floating out there. And there will come a reset in terms of a new currency worldwide and gold-backed currency so that everything worldwide and locally is bound to go back towards reality. We'll have to just work with what's real, not with imagined numbers. So I have no problem saying that I see a better future coming about. And like you said, that we have passed the most difficult times, but we still are subject to huge pendulum swings and eventually go towards a more balanced life, globally and locally.
You know, this, I guess this is to be expected. It's sort of like anything that you do in life, you do have a period of trial and error. And I think that when we have our trials, we see our errors and then we make corrections, right?
Yes, that's right. We have now tried out just about everything that was possible. And I think what we have to go into now in the future is find technologies that are going to really be of use to us and go towards something that is useful to our local and regional economies and be able to move forward together, but again, locally, each one in their communities, but working together across oceans, across the frontiers. So I see a very positive picture developing, but over time, we're talking here at least 5 years until we go through the reset in 2021, and then on for another 25 years, really, until we go into the opposition Pluto to Uranus. So we're talking a generation in the works. So this is the bigger picture now.
Yeah, and you know, when you look at, now we all know, or at least not all of us, but some of us who are my age at least, understand what it was like to see the Pluto-Uranus conjunction in Virgo back in the 1960s. It was a very, very marvelous time, unprecedented in history because of the type of creativity and the sort of the, and that sort of signaled a way, I think that was almost like a preview of where we needed to go, sort of the community living, the sort of the sense of returning to earthbound natures. It really was a foreshadow, don't you think, in some ways, of what we were to head towards?
Yes, that's right. The middle of the 60s, the mid-60s, I was a kid then, like 5, 6 years old. That was a good beginning. There was nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, many other things were happening. I mean, this was the time of the Kennedy brothers. Robert Kennedy had a great speech in South Africa on the 6th of June, 66, the famous date, 6-6-66. And he quoted his brother, and that was the new beginning in society. But it went the wrong way, I think, because at the same time the first credit cards were printed, and that is when began a whole life of piling up debt internationally. And this is where the experiment went wrong for the entire Western world economy, at least, and then the global economy. And so we were saying that once we move through the pendulum swing and we reach the more Pluto-dominant world, we go through a time when, of course, now the controllers, the secrecy, governments, etc., are trying to solidify and take control, but this will not work in the longer run. In the longer run, we will live what you've just described. So this is why these are very long stretches of time that actually span a lifetime, literally 80 years or more.
How does debt get resolved, especially between countries? I mean, you know, and the United States is heavily in debt to China currently. Now, how does that look going forward in 20 years? How do we resolve that? How do we sort of, you know, make that right?
I don't think it can be resolved. I think that the Anglo-Americans, the Western world, will default, and that the other part of the world, that's China, Russia, India, Brazil, South Africa, greater parts of Africa, which are being developed actively by China, they will together create a new economy, and there's going to be a split of societies in that sense. In the terms of economic worlds, we will live like in two worlds for quite a while. So I do not see how this debt can be settled, but I see how the others are going to create a gold-backed currency, and the Europeans with their euro currency, they'll do okay to some degree, but the question is if, for instance, Germany and France will move more towards an alignment with China and Russia, which is where their market is going to be. But to answer your questions, I don't see how the Western debt can be resolved. No one can pay this back.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be payable because it's just too large. And I'm wondering if the way to rectify it would be to open up, you know, to forgive the debt, so to speak, have some sort of settlement that resolves that, and then look towards a world currency. Would that be something that would be approachable?
That's probably the direction it's going to take. I don't know in detail yet how this is going to happen. There are several scenarios. One is to have what they call special drawing rights, SDR, that's being worked on with the IMF, but the problem is the IMF is more of a Western club that is trying to subjugate other countries. For instance, the Ukraine will now become an experiment like Greece with the IMF. So this SDR business of having a world currency, that works between nations, but that's not going to work for normal people. I mean, you in America will still have dollars, we will have euros. So locally, everyone will pay in their currencies. But a global currency, in the sense that you're talking about, can only come about if gold will back it up. So the other scenario that we've looked at with experts is that there will be a global currency backed by gold. And when one does the calculations, the gold price will pan out to be around $9,000 per ounce. So that'd be about 8 times more than it is now, which would really be the correct price, by the way. That doesn't mean gold goes up, it just means that reflects what the currencies are really worth. So if we go down that route, then yes, we would have a global currency, which would be a real currency.
Yeah.
But that would mean a reset for the dollar, for sure.
Yeah, something has to happen that sort of sets things back to square one, wiping the slate clean, so to speak. And I think it's very complicated because so much of what we see in the world of the economy today is intangible. I mean, it's sort of just computer transactions that have no value, and we see people's fortunes rise and fall in the course of an hour or two or a day or two. And you know, I'm wondering how that really works and how it gets through.
This is a huge problem, and the experts, and I'm in touch with some of them, cannot really explain it. Some of this is very mysterious. As you said, it's all computer-driven with the high-frequency trades and the algorithms. What I know is, for instance, that whenever Reuters sends out a news piece, an economic news piece, it triggers instantly within milliseconds the trades to go. So there's no more human trading activity. And basically the entire thing, all markets are manipulated. That has been now clearly found out. I think there's nobody who will discuss this anymore. And when I say all markets, I mean there is no more real market, whether it's demand and supply. All currencies, gold, precious metals, food, interest rates, you name it, everything is manipulated. Mm-hmm. And it's all driven by machines. So machines have taken over to some degree what humans do. Now, this is a very complex subject to go into quickly, but I have written about it, and that's what I talk about in my website, St. Clair Gold. I think the solution to this, for us to talk about the solution, is again that we have to work locally. We have to become self-sufficient. That's very important, that we have our own work, that we can trade with people, with clients, and work in a way that we do not depend on these things. Because like you said, fortunes get lost in milliseconds now.
Yeah, it's interesting that the machine intervention in that has, they've almost taken over in ways that we can't even think of compensating for. It's almost as if we've created a monster of sorts that has taken control of our financial well-being. And do you envision a time when something such as barter returns?
In parts, yes, there will be barter possible. That's definitely doable. I mean, I do it sometimes with clients. It's possible that someone who has services or goods to offer can be repaid in other equal services or other goods. You and I, for instance, are artists, right? You
right.
do this beautiful mandala work. I do crystal resonators. And sometimes I just get paid in precious metals instead of paper money, because we know that the paper money, wherever it is, doesn't matter which currency, is really debt. Every piece of paper currency is debt. It's a third party, a counterparty risk, whereas precious metals is the only money there is, real money. But one can also go beyond that and have a direct barter. Yes, I see this coming about, at least locally, regionally. This is quite possible in the future.
So that really is a return, because at one time people lived by barter only before money was really invented, or even people in rural societies would trade, you know, milk for potatoes and so forth, just as a way of ascribing a value to a physical product or a talent that you had. And people who wanted that would then return their favor with what they provided. So there was a mutually beneficial exchange there, whereas money sort of remove that, I guess, and so it's interesting. If we were to return to that, that would really be a signal of the pendulum swinging.
This is happening to some degree. When you see, for instance, that the BRIC bloc, that's Russia, China, and so on, are going to have their gas and oil and their goods paid in gold or in other commodities, they are already in some way among each other using barter in the widest sense. And when you look at the chart we were discussing about in 21, you see a lot of Capricorn and also quite some Taurus involved. So I see that we can go through this time, at least during the Great Reset, because as all this will be changing over, we will have to revert to this for a while. And again, you have to just understand that what we call money, meaning paper currencies and digits in computers, that's actually debt. And the only real money there is are the precious metals, gold and silver. So that's the in-between piece, in between the barter, but actually it's possible to go around that too. And certain nations are going to introduce this. They're doing it already now.
So it has to be something tangible in order to have value. You can't have a digital domain that has is just made up of zeros and ones that allows you to think that you have money. It's impossible. The only real value comes from something tangible, such as gold or silver, as you mentioned, precious metals. And I would also think that natural resources would be valuable for the sake of barter.
Yes, that's right. What we have in terms of natural resources and food, particularly locally grown food, organic food, that will become of value. That's actually real value, water, etc. And when you really want to go behind the scenes to see what the problem is that are going on with the Atlanticists trying to move towards Russia, it's all about the resources. What they're really after in the bigger picture, the geoengineers behind all these movements, they are actually wanting to get to the resources that the Eastern world has, and those are massive resources, from food to crystals, minerals, gold, silver, energy, of course, gas, oil. But we will also move towards new energies. That's also part of the new pictures. We will become independent from all that in the larger picture.
Yeah, I was mentioning...
So it is a conflict about resources, as a matter of fact, you're right.
Yeah, I was mentioning this the other day because in my mind, the idea of, and this is sort of to bring us back to a topic about current economics and current politics, is that if the gas and the oil is shut down from one part of the world, it might very well force the rest of the world to look for alternative energy sources. So in some way, a closing down of a natural product does bring about an alternative. Is that not true?
Yes, that will be a natural consequence. I don't think we're going to go there, because on the side of Putin, I know that's not what they want to do. They want to continue a peaceful trade with everybody. If they were forced to, they would do something else. He would simply say to the West, okay, you pay me now for the gas in any other currency but U.S. dollars. That would overnight close down the entire Anglo-American society, but he's not going to do that if he doesn't, if he's not pushed into this. But I think the free energies, the newer energies, they are around, they exist. I mean, if I can talk about this briefly, the black projects, they have the energies necessary, they just have not been freed up to the world yet. There are scientists and engineers and inventors around who have been working on free energies for at least 40, 50 years, and there are other forces who are maybe 100 years ahead of us with technologies yet to come, but these technologies and new energies are not available to us normal people yet. They have not been made available to the governments, because simply at the moment we're struggling with a resource war to do basically with oil and gas. But there is more available, there's much more to come, and so one day we'll move away from all of this. And that day may well come in the mid-late 20s, that's not so far away, I would say 10 years. For instance, we have beautiful alignments coming up between Uranus in Gemini and Pluto in Aquarius from, say, 2026 to 2028. So at that time, I see that this is happening, including time travel, including a new form of medicine. So there's huge breakthrough potential coming in about 10, 12 years from now.
Right, that would be indicative of, the Uranus and the cardinal energy sort of being inventive and innovative. And, the idea that alternative energy sources are available now is disturbing on one hand, because we haven't got access to them, and I think the reason we don't is because they're being held back from the public because of the very nature of making money. And I think that that when we are faced in or backed into a corner where we can't get energy, then that drives the need to develop new energies, which will sort of be an impetus of sorts to get things moving.
Yes, that's right. This will be part of what's going to happen. I just wanted to say there are people who can, of course those are engineering types, mainly builder types, but there are people who can power their houses with free energies. That's too technical for me to explain, but it is available actually, at least at a local level, people could do this. It has to do with being decentralized. The problem we have worldwide is that everything is centralized, all the resources, water is centralized, electric power, everything is centralized. That's our huge problem globally, and we have to move away from that and go back towards decentralized resources where every locality, every community, regionally at least, do their own thing. They have their own water, their own electric, their own power, and all this can be done with other energies where we will not be dependent on oil and gas and fossil fuels, etc. Even cars can be moved around electrically, etc. And this will all happen. We just have to be confident that we're moving into a much better time, and all this, what we're going through now, all this conflict, will soon be history. But it's a tough time to go through, and this is why I'm saying during this tough time, everybody is best advised to become very self-sufficient, because things are not so pretty for the next, say, 4 or 5 years. We have to be realistic about that. I mean, the situation is deteriorating, but this is going on because we're moving towards a new situation.
Yeah, I do see that. It's sort of a massive paradigm shift. And I think, you know, sort of living closer to the land is necessary, people being more dependent upon their own domain, so to speak. In other words, you know, you go out and you start planting vegetables in your backyard. You start looking for solar power. You start looking for wind power. Many of these things are available and could make everyone self-sufficient to the point where we were not dependent upon larger entities. Or maybe we use the larger entities only as a backup in case of emergency. That might be something that's more applicable. But I do see what you're saying. It certainly makes sense to me. And, you know, I guess I'm frustrated because I'm an Aries and I'm sort of impatient. I want to get this, you know, I want this to get going. And I want people to, I want the world to move faster towards this area.
Yes, me too. I'm, like yourself, impatient about it. We have to be realistic that first we actually almost have to show people how to do it themselves, because they don't know about these things. They rely on the system. And my point is, with my clients and friends, we're saying we need to get out of the system first to become a useful asset to society. And like you said, for instance, anyone can grow their own food. That's a good beginning. Put solar power in, or other free energies are possible, etc. So yes, we have to be self-sustained. That's the beginning. Become independent and live, if possible, outside of the system. That means also get out of the banks, etc. Get out of the system as best as we can and become of use to the community. And then we can actually move forward without having to be impatient. We can actually create local solution already now in 2014-15, and it will may well become essential that we do it, because there may be problems ahead and which will force us into this stance.
Yeah, that's what I was alluding to, a sort of we are going to be, you know, I think this is what a square does. A square faces you, puts a challenge in front of you that you have to address and repair in order to move forward. It's like taking a step up a set of stairs. You've got to address that. And that's hard work sometimes, but it is a necessary step. You know, the trines in astrology are the easy times and things are, you know, pleasant and smooth and not much happens. But when we have the oppositions and the squares, then we see real action. And as I said, when the roof is leaking, we have to repair it. And if the roof is leaking now, so we've got to get out there and repair it. We can no longer ignore that. And that's a difficult pill to swallow.
That's right, that's right. This is what people need to understand. As long as everyone actually grasps the situation, when they understand what's really at stake now, I think then the next steps are rather logical. They're not simple, because it takes a lot of work to do all these things we just said in a few words, and that becomes a new lifestyle as well. And it's well worth it, because it's a good thing to be independent regardless of the situation outside.
Yeah, we're so heavily entrenched in our ways, there's no question about that. Any change would be a significant effort on all people's parts. I'm wondering how people in power, people who wield enormous economic wealth and political sway, if they became obstructionists in this sort of thing, Would that break the system? I mean, obviously it could, because they would say, or do you think that they will come to a point in time where they realize this is inevitable?
I think they know that it is inevitable, but I cannot answer why they're not giving up or giving way to those of us who have better solutions. It's inevitable that the system is going to come apart. Sorry, so, and I think the answer is, they do know this, but they don't like to give up their positions, in short.
Right, and they are ego-driven, and there is money involved, and greed, and all the seven deadly sins sort of enter into it, which are just human characteristics. But I think that necessity is the mother of invention, and as we find ourselves coming to a point in a crossroads where we have no other alternative because necessity dictates it, we will find the inventions. I think that's what will happen. But it does require that, you know, that squeezing, that closing of a window, so to speak, metaphorically speaking, where that these things come to a screeching halt almost.
Yes, that's what's going on right now. This is where we're at now in 2014-15. Still the square Pluto-Uranus is in effect for quite a while longer. And a lot of people will understand this is what they have to do. They have to invent a new life. This is what it's about. The next 5 to 10, 20 years is about living a whole new life. This is a huge learning curve, even for those who were way ahead into this. We experience every day what this means when we have to stand on our own feet. I'm more concerned about the masses who simply do not know about these things. And for those, I don't see what their solution is going to be. And that's a bit of the problem, that we're going to be sometimes on our own. And when we're outside of the system, we really are on our own. We have to look after ourselves and after our neighbors and friends, and we have to form communities, therefore.
Yeah, you know, it sort of brings to mind the idea of what's called group process, where, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if the larger populace isn't informed of this, or turns a blind eye, or just chooses to be distracted by this and therefore ignore it, there's going to be a ripple effect that is going to travel through, because you can think of it in terms of healthcare or anything like that. When people don't take care of themselves and they smoke and eat bad food, they're going to get sick. That there's an impact that ripples back to the rest of society. And I think that's sort of where you're alluding to, what you're alluding to with regard. Yeah, and so that is a massive problem. You're right.
This is right. For instance, you mentioned healthcare. That's very important, that people learn how to take care of themselves. I mean, I have to study to some degree, not medicine, but healing techniques. We have to be our own doctors. We have to be our own central bankers now. We have to look after our own energy, power supply. I mean, this is big. We can't rely on a health care system that's just not going to exist. I mean, between you and me, that's finished.
So we're sort of like returning to where we were 400 years ago, where every man had his little cabin in the woods, and he supplied his own water, and he had his cows and chickens in the backyard, and he grew vegetables, and he cut wood to keep himself warm. And yet we look at that model, we think of it as being regressive, when actually it is progressive, because it's a return to our roots, but in a new paradigm.
Yes, this is true what you say. It's not that I'm always saying to my clients jokingly, I'm not for going back to the pioneer stage, but we have to stand on our own feet while we can work on new technologies and live very modern, futuristic lives, but knowing that we are dependent only on ourselves. We don't depend on a system out there that's breaking apart. But so actually, this new paradigm is partly, like you said, going back to that lifestyle, but at the same time going forward, because we are connected to each other over the oceans and connected in a vaster community.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's all good, you know.
Yeah, no, I do see that. I think, you know, as I mentioned, you know, the squares ultimately are your friends, because they certainly force us to respond. And if we became apathetic, we wouldn't respond. And that may have been part of the problem. In the years leading up to this, we've had some soft times where things came easily, and we became somewhat complacent, and some defaults were set in place that led us down the wrong road. So now we're in a time of correction.
Yes, that's right. This is well said. We're going through a time of correction, and the planets show us that we're forced to take these turns. There's no choice anymore. Mm-hmm. And we had years to build up. Like you were saying, we knew this ahead of time. You and I talked about this 6 years ago. There was plenty of time for people to become ready and to prepare themselves to live a whole new life.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now, it's a must. It's not a choice mission anymore.
Yeah. Michael, it's been wonderful having you on the show today. I certainly enjoy your conversations, and you know, you're a wonderful visionary man, and I encourage people to visit Michael's website. It's www.stclair, it's stclair.gold.com, stclairgold.com, and you can reach out to Michael there and get personal readings and discover what he's doing. I think, you know, what's interesting about you, Michael, is I love the fact that you've always taken this longer view. Many astrologers are always living in the next year or 6 months, whereas you're really looking down the road, which, you know, imbues you with a certain sense of responsibility and a responsibility to get the message out to others. And that's why it's great having people like you on my show, because this is, you know, every seed that we plant carries the chance of a new person living with that.
Yes, we have to show the way. We're way showers. So we have to look at the larger picture and speak to people and make them understand where their lives are going to be in 10 to 40 years from now, their children, etc. We have to take the longer view. I don't see how else we could do it.
I don't either. So, but www.stclair.gold, it'll be on my website as well, and you folks listen, and I'll also post it to Facebook when the time comes for the show to happen, and we have all that information out there. But Michael, thank you so much for being a guest today.
Thank you very much, sir. It was a pleasure.
You've been listening to Turning of the Wheel with your host, Chris Fisher. To schedule a reading with me or to order artwork, you may visit my website at www.chrisflisher.com. That's www.chrisflisher.com. Or email me, and you can call me at 978-393-1036. That's 978-393-1036. Thank you. And as always, be open to possibilities.